It's time for The Buzz on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Good Titrations off Merhar Avenue. Home to the country's first cannabis cafe. Now it's time for The Buzz.
All right, welcome to The Buzz. I'm Sean Tackey, co-host with Brandon Emmett.
Yo, yo, what up, peeps?
Yeah, we got a couple of guests in the studio today. We've got Sam and Joe Hatchie from 10 Herb Company. We've helped grow this whole company, this industry together, and known these guys for quite some time since we first got it legalized. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so like Sean said, Sam and Joe, 10 Herb Company, you guys have been part of the industry here pretty much since its inception. We've helped fight a couple campaigns together.
Yep.
And you guys got pretty much the best weed around.
Appreciate
and
that.
Thank you. So we're pretty stoked to have you guys on the show today. Learn some about Tanana Herb Company, you know, and educate some of our consumers about why your company's so great. And then learn a little bit about the guys that are behind the company, too. So, Sam, you first. Tell me about yourself. Tell our listeners who you are and what you're doing.
Sure. Well, thank you again for having us on this radio station. This is pretty cool to buzz, man. But I got to tell you, you know, we were one of the first six licensed in the state back in August of 2016. I remember picketing with you guys that next year, 2017, when they tried to put a moratorium on it. Man, that was cold outside, standing on those corners.
Yeah.
Definitely chilly. We had to get the word out.
You know? Yeah. You
know? And we started, with just Joe and I, and we were, and Leslie and James, the four of us, and we started in a small cultivation right on the Tanana River, is where our Tanana Herb Company came from. We're right on the Tanana River, and we got a limited cultivation license. First, it was 1,490 square feet, and then we went through the borough process, and then got a standard cultivation license about a year later, which just opened up processing and dry rooms. And that first facility was 3,200 square feet. And then we moved in to the larger shop in August of 2018, almost 2 years to the date we got our first license. And that location's at 1200 Well Street, the old Odom building downtown.
Mm-hmm. Pretty big building.
Pretty big space.
Yeah, you know, it measures 463 by 100. It's a pretty large building. It's been around since forever. Half of it was built in 69, and the other half was built in 84. And, you know, we kind of look at that as a nice piece of history with Fairbanks. We were the first full-time business to operate out of that building when we purchased it from the previous owners in 10 years. Wow. So that building had just been sitting empty for 10 years with just, you know, moderate amount of business coming in out of it. And so it's such a large footprint that we're really proud to be able to put that piece of history to work. You know, we have right around 30 full-time employees now.
Wow.
We're planning on doing a little something fancy this springtime in one of the sections, maybe opening a retail and a manufacturing. And we're operating out of a small portion of that building right now. It's not totally complete, but we're proud of the people that work with us and, you know, what we've built so far.
And I think some of you guys' success comes from doing it modularly, like, mm-hmm. like that. You know, you started small, mm-hmm. you got your product out there, mm-hmm. you got this big building, and then you guys have loaded it out as your product has become more popular and you've made more sales, instead of trying to go whole hog at yeah. once like some people have done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty smart. So how did you get into the cannabis industry, Sam?
Oh man! Well,
back in the medical days.
out of state. Actually, it's kind of funny. I like telling the first time I ever grew pot was in the boiler room of a house we were renting years ago, and I used a 400-watt metal halide lamp with no hood, and I had just some peat, you know, some Sunshine Number 4 mix with the plants that I had, and I would just get a glass of water and drip a couple of drops of Miracle-Gro in it, and then just feed it to the plants. And I'm like, look at this weed. It's so great, you know?
So beautiful.
Harvested the first, you know, the first harvest, and then we're out of weed, so we're like, oh, let's put it in the oven to dry it out better. And
don't do that.
You're sitting there smoking.
Oh, it was awful. It was awful, yeah. So, like, you know, we started with, like, a lot of people, you know, doing the most basic things possible, and then, you know, we actually did get into the medical side in Colorado a bunch of years ago when they voted on the medical side, and Joe and I were going down there. And then Washington turned legal, and one of Joe's old ex-roommates was opening a grow in Spokane Valley, and I was working down in Colorado at that time, and he gives me a call, and he's like, hey, you wanna grow some weed up in Washington? And I was like, Yeah, I do. like a job for real, you know? And so we worked a few years down there, and then as the Alaskan market opened up, you know, Joe and I were looking at each other. We love adventure. You know, we've lived coast to coast, you know, 8 or 10 states in our adult lives, and always kind of knew we were going to come to Alaska. And when this opportunity presented itself, we were like, well, this is the thing. This is the thing to do.
Wholeheartedly jumped in.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I've never been happier, man. I love what Alaska offers. The fishing and hunting and outdoors, the small population base. I don't have road rage every day because I'm fighting traffic. Like,
yeah, there's not even any lines on the road right now.
Oh, I love it.
You know, it's that game, whose lane is it anyway?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love
lines
it.
Lines don't matter and nobody cares. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Joe, how about you? What how'd you get your start in the industry?
Well, I've been in construction my whole life. I went to college for engineering and project management, and I've done everything from federal road projects to remodeling schools and government buildings, and construction is my life. That's how my brain works. I got an opportunity to go and work for the same company Sam did in Spokane Valley, and I was in the construction side, so I saw what works and what doesn't, and the equipment to buy and what not to buy, and just learned about the industry through them.
So the physical nuts and bolts of a grow versus just the, okay, this is the plant. These are the conditions that need to be created to grow good cannabis, and this is how you put it together, basically.
Yep. So firsthand experience, learning really on somebody else's dollar, right?
Yeah.
That's the best way to learn.
That's how a lot of our employees are looking at things, too. I got them asking me about how I open a retail. I'm like, what?
How do you want to know that?
Here are my SOPs.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I just love building, you know, and if Sam's going to take care of the garden, the plants, I'll take care of everything else, the building, everything else. And so it just worked really well together.
Yeah.
You know? We complement each other. Like, I don't have anything to do with the plants other than making the conditions good.
Yep.
You know? And
I'll tell you how to build stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
That's awesome. Yeah.
He tells me he wants a new room. I go build it.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, and from an outside perspective, having been you guys friends for a few years now, seeing your dynamic, I think, is one of the reasons why Tannin Arb Company has been so successful, because you guys have that compartmentalization of duties. You know, you, Joe, you build the stuff, you make the conditions the way they are, and Sam is in charge of the actual cultivation, so kind of like setting them up and knocking them down, and you guys seem to just jive really well together.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for a business, is to, you know, obviously you have to have some overlap, but you have a separation of duties and skill sets. Kind of like Sean and I.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Balance each other out.
Yeah, you have to. You know, infrastructure is just as important as the actual plants themselves, you know.
And we have great partners, too. Leslie and James are phenomenal people, you know.
Yep.
They take care of the things that we don't, right?
Yep.
Business side.
Business side.
Yeah, well, you know, taxes and AMCO paperwork and all, you know, actual, the nitty-gritty running of the business that, you know, we don't necessarily want to mess around with. You know, Leslie and James are phenomenal at it. You know, we're a Tannin Arb Company was the first cannabis company in Alaska to deposit money into a checking account, and we're the first cannabis company in the country to be backed by a federal credit union. We deal with Mac FCU, and if our, you know, back of the house paperwork wasn't all ducks in a row, we would not be able to even attempt to do something like that.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Actually, I was going to point out what we're listening to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, remind the viewers that you're listening to The Buzz at 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and you can listen to us live at kfarradio.com. And we have our guests, Sam and Joe Hatchie from Tannin Arb Company. I was going to actually ask you guys, what sets your cultivation apart?
You know, I think culture has a lot to do with what we do. you know, company culture and the way we try to take care of each other, not just as a job that we're walking in. You know, we provide a safe work atmosphere. We have everybody scrub out from their street clothes to mitigate any type of contaminants or dog hair that comes in with people's, you know, clothing. We're very specific on our SOPs, and we try to really just support the people that work with us. I feel that, you know, one of the things that makes us successful is Joe and I have always kind of worked for other people our entire lives, and this is really the first opportunity we get to set the pace and set the tone of, like, you know, where we want to work, you know, how we want to be dealt with, and that's how we kind of approach the garden and the people who work with us, is that you know, they have the support, and I think that really reflects in our product overall. You know, the people care.
Because there's care.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a farmily, you know what I mean? We're a farm family.
That's nice. Cool.
Yeah. Half a dozen of guys have been 4+ years with us now, five or six of them. You know, we've got two guys that have been since the second harvest in the small shop. You know, so our retention is pretty good, and we're just real proud of everybody that, you know, wants to work as a team.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really says a lot about a company when you can retain mm-hmm. employees. You have people that, mm-hmm. you know, can actually put up with you every day.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And we're not easy guys sometimes.
Yeah.
We have a great group of people.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And we're trying to build it to where they can work there for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Right? And their kids can have a job. Like, I see Fairbanks and I see not a whole lot of career opportunities. Like, I see a lot of jobs in town, but not something where somebody would want to work for another 30 years, you know? And we're trying to provide that, like the structural support. You know, we have to stay open for another 30 years because other people are counting on us. Right?
Right.
It's not because of Sam and I. It's way bigger than us. Like, we're doing this for everybody that walks through that door, everybody that mm-hmm. that tries our product. Mm-hmm. You know, like, a lot of it has to do with energies. Like, if everybody's happy in that place, they're putting off good energy out into the world. Plants are, they just soak that right in. So if you have somebody that's not happy, that's just putting negative energy out there, those plants are going to feel that energy. Right. And then that transpires straight on through to the guy smoking it. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Or ingesting it, or, you know, consuming. However you like.
Yeah. Consuming.
Yeah. So that kind of feeds into your guys' motto. Right. So I believe it's grown with peace and love.
Yeah. Grown with peace and love.
Yeah.
Yep. That's
cool,
exactly,
man.
It. Yeah. And, you know, we secured such a large building, kind of to piggyback off of what Joe is saying, is we want to build this for the future. You know, cannabis isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Joe and I have zero plans of ever selling out, quote unquote, to anybody out of state or anything like that. Like, we're building this for the people around us because they've trusted us over these years. I mean, one of the things that I learned about operating a business is not only do I have to trust the people working with us to not, you know, kill all the plants, for instance, but they also have to trust us. We're not going to drive the business into the ground so then they have an employment next year or the year after. And we just take a lot of a pride in that. And securing such a large building will also help us be able to do that. You know, the more pot we grow, we can lower the cost and, you know, and get it out in the market. And that secures everybody else. And it just makes sense, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this will be a good spot for our first commercial break. So we'll be right back after these messages.
More of The Buzz will continue right after this.
Since legalization, Good Titrations has been producing the finest products that you now enjoy legally, with products throughout the state of Alaska. Well, now Good Titrations has their own retail store right here in Fairbanks at 506 Merhar Avenue, just off the Johansson. A full cannabis retail shop, including products in flower, edible, and concentrate form, plus accessories, and an impressive group of bud tenders that can help match the right product just for you. And coming soon, Fairbanks' first cannabis cafe, courtesy of Good Titrations off Merhar Avenue. Online at goodtitrations.com. License number 10827.
Marijuana has intoxicating effects and may be habit-forming and addictive. Marijuana impairs concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under its influence. There are health risks associated with consumption of marijuana. For use only by adults 21 and older, keep out of reach of children. Marijuana should not be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
This message is brought to you by Good Titration.
License number 20827.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Now, back to the Buzz on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Good Titrations.
All right, welcome back to the Buzz. I'm Sean Tackey, and here's Brandon Emmett, my co-host.
What's up?
Got Sam and Joe Hatchie in the studio.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, guys.
Greetings and salutations.
Yeah, so when we went to commercial break, mm-hmm. we had touched on your banking, mm-hmm. right? You guys said you're the first company to be able to bank,
yep.
and you're with Mac.
Yep.
Tell us about your experience there. What's it like actually being able to have a bank account? What are the pros and cons mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. working with Mac? And just, you know, how did you guys go from not having an account to where you're at now?
You know, there's that fun little list that we all get put on after we get a licensing that, you know, we can't necessarily receive traditional funding through banking or put a name on a credit card and that kind of thing. And so we were running into this real problem. It was multifold, but just for instance, purchasing things that were from out of state, right? Like I receive cash. How am I going to put it into a bank to then buy things out of state was becoming an issue for us, you know, paying the taxes, you know, paying people in cash for their work for that week or their paycheck and things. You know, there was there should have been an easier way to do it. And Mac actually stepped up to the plate and did a really good job. It's kind of multifold. So Metric is the accounting inventory software that is state mandated that, you know, everything gets, you know, harvested, processed, sold through Metric. There's a Hyper app that then talks to Metric and QuickBooks. And then the bank talks to Hyper and QuickBooks. So then the Hyper app verifies for every dollar we sell out of Metric, it's inputted into our QuickBooks. And then the bank takes a look at both of those to make sure that we're not depositing more than we said we made. We can always deposit less, though. So it's really just taking cash out of it for us. We drop it into the bank all the time. We pay people through checks. I don't have a Visa card, you know, like a debit card, but I can write checks all day. So I can pay my taxes, I can pay the people. The fees are reasonable. They're based on how much we deposit. But you really have to have really tight accounting to be able to do that, because if all your invoices and all your bills aren't all in a row, then something's going to be off in your QuickBooks. And check out Sabrina over at MacFCU if you're a cannabis company and you want some banking. They're awesome to work with and a really great group of people.
What other kind of reporting do you have to do each month?
You know, that's about it. They come in every month or two to do a site visit and a walkthrough to make sure that, you know, we're still doing what we say we're going to do. And, you know, as far as, you know.
You don't have card tables in there where the plants
yeah.
used to be or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, or all our plants are gone and then we say we're a cannabis business. You know, like yeah. it's just a simple site visit. And then it's just that oversight. And, you know, it was kind of hard to be like, ah, here's my, you know, login for my QuickBooks and all my information. But, I mean, that's just the game we play. And, you know, it's just that basic oversight. And it's really just become pretty easy now. We just use the drop boxes and they double count it under cameras. And we've never had an issue with deposit amounts. And
So what are the fees like? Is the percentage based sort of a thing or a dollar yeah. amount a year depending on your revenue?
Sure,
what's
it's
the
flat base fee and then a yeah, increase it's a, it, amount per it, deposit?
Yeah, it's a percentage based fee based on deposits. So if I don't want to deposit that much, my fees aren't as high. If I've got a huge deposit for whatever reason, I've got to buy something out of state, I got to pay for it. again, like, I mean, I wish we were a normalized business and industry. I could just get a free business checking account. It wouldn't cost me anything to put money in. But, like, I also understand that from the banking side, if it was just a normal account and you were a normal business, the bank would take your money, lend it out to other people, then charge them interest, and that's how the bank makes their money. But they actually hold our money in, like, escrow, essentially. It's just a separate account. So they don't lend our money out. So they can't really make money on it. So they have to make some money to be able to process and hold the program open. So, you know, I get it. You know, I'm not.
It was like a couple percent or something.
Yeah,
like that.
It's reasonable. You know, I'm not salty about it or anything. It's reasonable. And the value I get from handing people paychecks and knowing that none of the cash is ever at my shop, it's in the bank. You know, they set up a branch in Wasilla now. So when we do Anchorage runs and things, I could just night drop in the bank, and then I'm not driving around with cash. Like, it's buying things out of state is huge.
So being able to mail somebody a check versus the playing the money order game, which a lot of people do.
That's what we do. Yeah.
You know,
and you gotta go pay a whole bunch of people a large sum of money, run around and get money orders.
Well, that's, I mean, it turned into like a time thing for us. Like, I didn't have time to run around and get money orders anymore, you know?
Yeah. We haven't done it just because the cost of what it is, it just seems so high to me. And the amount of money that we actually pay an employee to go and get money orders is so small. But the time-saving aspect of it for, like, paying people in cash versus paying people with a check.
Yeah, and the peace of mind that my safe is empty, you know? Like, I don't have any cash.
So. The place catches on fire. There's nothing in the
safe. No big deal.
You know?
Yeah.
No big deal. The place is burning down. Hey, I got
insurance. You want to talk about some insurance premiums?
Right?
Yeah.
Property do you guys taxes. Have ACH functions with paying for bills and stuff? You can use ACH payments, or does it have to be a check?
No. I can do bank-to-bank routing transfers and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, all day. All right, I just can't get a debit card with a Visa logo on it, because then it turns into interstate commerce, right? So it's just no interstate
nothing
commerce.
Over the wire.
Yeah.
That's what Joseph was saying when they're setting Hyper up. Can do everything other than something that goes over the wire.
Yeah, over the wire. Or they say the rails, too.
The rail, yeah.
Federal Reserve System. I'm hoping that the Safe Banking Act gets passed.
Yeah,
the Senate. Nice. I mean, they tied it into the National Defense Authorization Act.
Oh, good.
So when they passed it from the House over there, they have that added to it. So
cool.
I've got my fingers crossed to hopefully get
it. So unless the Senate decides to yank it out of there, it might actually happen.
Yeah. It might.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be big for us. You know, just open up commercial
banks too.
Oh yeah, well, it'll open up commercial lending too. You know, like if I can't go to a car loan right now. You know what I mean? Like, a bank won't lend me money to get a car.
Yeah.
You know, if my car breaks down, I can't. You know what I mean?
Like, it's a drug dealer, Sam.
We're the poorest people in town.
Oh man, I talked to an old high school buddy of mine the other day, and I was like, "Hey, how you doing?" He's good. He drives truck down in the lower 48. He's like, "What you been up to?" And I was like, "You know, I'm just doing the weed thing, you know, selling weed." And he's like, not much has changed since high school, huh?" I was like, "Yep, still selling weed."
Same guy, different amounts of weed.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, well, speaking of the weed.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you guys sell it?
Oh yeah, Good Titrations.
Is actually
you guys are the last year's. I mean, we haven't done this year's, you know, P&L and everything. We're quarterlies, but you guys are actually the number one producer manufacturer that we've sold all of our trim and byproduct to.
Sweet.
You can find us
in
your retail. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Airport Way Best Buds. We're all over Grass Station and their, you know, satellite locations all over the state. We do a little bit of business in Wasilla with Scorpion Grass and Green Jar, and then there's Treehouse in Eagle River. We do business with Enlightened and Hollyweed and Denali Dispensaries and Ace, and there might be a couple that float around here and there that kind of come in. There's a Mason Jar down in Juneau.
Oh,
So you guys are all over the state.
Yeah, more or less. We sell 80% to 90% of our, you know, monthly product to quote unquote, you
on
know,
the road
to, so yeah, yeah, on the road system, and it's really only goes to 6 or 7 spots, you know, a couple in town, a couple in Anchorage, and that's about it.
That's cool. Yeah, I was at Green Jar the other day, and I believe they had some moon cabbage in there.
That's such a sore subject.
Poor moon cabbage.
Yeah, what's up with that? I love that stuff. That's like my favorite strain, know. You know?
Well,
like, what's the story?
So I'm going to find some more beans. So we had the moon cabbage was a different pheno from that mandarin cookies that we had. Mm-hmm. Mandarin cookies. And that stuff was so citrusy. I mean, when it was growing in full flower, you walk into the room, you could like feel it on your face, man. Like your eyes kind of start watering.
Someone sprayed you in the eye with orange cleaner when you walk
nasty.
In.
Nasty.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, when we first sold it to the market, people were like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. And then like we start getting feedback like it's too much. You know, it's too orangey,
like,
or
too
something.
Spicy,
too something, too much. It's just too much. And I was okay, whatever. And the moon cabbage was a pheno of that. So we decided to crack more seeds and get rid of the mandarin cookies and try to find something else. This way came up with the orange cream cake. It's not as citrusy and punchy in the face, but it's still a 30%, you know, tester that's, you know, kind of a face melter. And that moon cabbage was mislabeled in our mother room. And so when we went to go kill the mandarin cookies, the moon cabbage got gnawed.
Oh, no.
And then we turn around and we have this beautiful room of moon cabbage and it's all Mando. And we're like, what a Debbie Downer.
That's a
bummer. Yeah, I hate him. That,
we'll find it again.
Yeah, that happened to us when we were just getting our little hydro set up there at the cafe. Yeah. We had this really awesome pheno of Lemon Jeffrey. It was like one of the first beans that we popped.
Yeah.
And it yielded all right, and it tested over 25. It's first banger, and you know that was against some other plants that had tested below 20. So we're like, okay, we think this is actually legit. We're like, all right, this is going to be a keeper. Uh-huh. Same thing, just you know,
just
a little label switch, you know, and then next thing you know, we got no more Lemon Jeffrey, and then we got this other funky pheno. So I really feel your pain, and that's a bummer. It'd be cool to find that moon cabbage again. That's like my fave.
Yeah, we'll find it. We run about 18 or 20 or so production strains right now. You know, hybrids, indica, sativas, everything from the original God's Gift and the Cinderella and a Jack Attack that we've been growing since the beginning. We've got some newer stuff coming out. We've got some Red Diesel, some Salty. So the Red Diesel, I've been sitting on those beans for like 15 years. I mean, like, they're old beans. And they all cracked, and it was crazy, and it was really the variability in the phenotypes were just dramatic. And so we found this one phenotype that we landed, big, chunky, heady nuggets that looks like old school, like, step above land race kind of thing. Really excited for
cool.
it. We got some Salty Dog coming that was a breeder out of Kenai, Loud Geek, and man, that it smells like a salty beach, like it's the ocean salty beach. Crazy weird terp profile.
CBD also, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. A lot of CBGA in it.
Okay.
And just some weird terpies. We only run it once or twice, but kind of circling back to the pheno. So with the large building like we have, really are trying to take advantage of the space that we have. And so we have our upstairs mother room. We have an individual lab that we're testing phenos, and I've got 3 6 light rooms that are just dedicated for pheno testing. So we're cracking a bunch of seeds. I've got a bunch of terpy slurpy and trophy wife cross with dream beaver phenos right now, and so we're going to be able to really crack through a bunch of seeds, do a bunch of in-house breeding, find those crazy strains in our own set little rooms to not affect the rest of the crop too. So we're really trying to pheno hunt and do our own breeding and start bringing something to the market that you can only find from Tannin Herb Company.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Well, thanks guys, we got to actually wrap up. We got the show, we got 1 minute left, so thanks for coming to the show. Nice having you on. Stick
Appreciate
around
it.
For part two if we're going to have another one.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more about these phenos and your guys' techniques and stuff like that. I think we're really on a roll here, but we'll break for now, and we'll be back with Tannin Herb Company next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
You've been listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. Sponsored by Good Titrations. To listen to this episode or any past programs, simply go to the website and search the archives page. The Buzz has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.